T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mixed martial arts and boxing fans, it's time for Fighters Fury, Inside the Heart of a Champion, with your hosts, Brendan Tobin, Seema, and Tommy Guns. It's time for Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome on in. Fighters Fury here on 790, The Ticket. Tobin here with you for the next hour. We'll go all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. We'll get into last night's and yesterday afternoon's fight card. A lot of stuff going on in Europe, so you got some early fight action. But we'll start off here. Yesterday, during the UFC Fight Night broadcast, we got news that the UFC is indeed coming back down here. It is coming back on April 27th, and those rumors were out there for a while in reports. And the initial report was it was going to be April 27th at the American Airlines Arena. First time the UFC was coming back to the County of Dade in a long, long time. And yesterday, we got word that it's actually going to be at the BB&T Center. It's going to be in Sunrise, so it's a Broward card. It's not a Miami-Dade card. And they even laid out initial fights. Now, at first look at this, it appears that we're not going to get Yoel Romero against Paulo Costa. That was the initial main event that was reported. That was the initial main event that we all thought we were going to get. And I was very hopeful that we were going to get, because I think that would be huge for this market. I think that this market has been overlooked for a while and looked upon as a place that can't draw. But it is such a hotbed of mixed martial arts. So many great fighters trained down here. I think it's become more popular than ever than it was even years ago. And I really do think that this could be a great place for the UFC to come. But I do think it takes the right card to fill up a place like the American Airlines Arena or the BB&T Center. And so these initial fights that are out there that are listed, the top one on the card is John Lineker, Corey Sandhagen, Andrei Arlovsky's on the card, fighting Augusto Sakai. Glover Teixeira's on the card, Jessica Penney is taking on Jody Escobar, Court McGee, Diego Lima, and Jim Miller, Jason Gonzalez. That's what they have out there. And so a lot of people are looking at this and saying, well, John Lineker, Corey Sandhagen, is that a main event fight? Is that something that they're really going to throw out there as the main event to sell? It does say at the bottom of this and the list, and I didn't notice this yesterday, but I did notice it this morning, that the bout order is to come at a later date. And we really don't have anything new on where Yoel Romero is or where Paulo Costa is as far as what their next matchups are. Costa came out this week and he said that he was in the running for an interim title fight. There is going to be an interim middleweight title fight at UFC 236. It's a couple of interim title fights, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But that ended up going to Israel Adesanya. He is going to be fighting Kelvin Gastelum in Atlanta at UFC 236. So Costa's still free and still is believed that he's going to fight Yoel Romero. I think the other part of this is Romero has been on this reality show where I don't think people can get in touch with him, so I don't know when that thing's going to end and when they can finalize it. You'd assume that he wants, 6 to 8 weeks to train for his fight. So, it's kind of getting to that time where you would think he wants to be in training camp to get ready for this bout. But, look, I think the UFC really needs that headliner for this thing to work out. I mean, it was that card, a bantamweight fight, good fight a couple years ago. I think it was, it was Mighty Mouse and I got to figure out who the other guy was. It's slipping my mind, but it was they had to paper the entire house. It was a rough card, kind of got this place blacklisted to begin with back in the BB&T Center years ago. So, the idea that they're going to go that route again, I just, with nobody who has really a tie here. Even Yoel, the last card that we had over at the Hard Rock, the Seminole Hard Rock with Yoel, at least, you know, that was that's a smaller venue. Yoel Romero packed the house. It was a good atmosphere against Lyoto Machida. You know, so you have Yoel, a local guy, taking on a former champion and a legend. And I think that this, you know, not having him headline a card down here in South Florida would just be a monster mistake. He doesn't have anything else. You know, the fans have been wanting this matchup against Costa for a while. And the other thing is, you know, this is an ESPN card. I mean, this is what gives me hope that they're still going to stack this with something a little bit bigger than what's initially announced, and that they just don't have it confirmed. This is the third big ESPN card that they're putting forth. Like, they just put Cain Velasquez against Francis Ngannou, for example, in Phoenix. And kind of the same deal, you know, Francis, hometown guy. I mean, Cain Velasquez, hometown guy, fighting in Phoenix, getting kind of that hero's welcome. I can't imagine they're coming at it with John Lineker against Corey Sandhagen. I think that's a fun fight. It's a really good fight. It is certainly a letdown from what we all thought it was going to first be. So I don't want to be an ingrate, because I am happy that the UFC is coming down here, and I can't wait. You know, we're gonna embrace the whole week, and it's gonna be fun that the biggest mixed martial arts promotion is coming down here. But it certainly feels like it needs that other hammer to drop for this thing to really, really, you know, come home and be a big time event. I don't, you know, looking at the initial card, it just doesn't have that. It doesn't have that, wow, I got to get out there and see this. And I really think if you're coming into a market like this, which I think could be super successful for the UFC, I don't think you can screw around with the fans here. I feel like you've done that enough. You've done that enough in so many ways when it comes to this market. And now that I think that the market's as hot as ever, I think as far as the amount of people that are interested in mixed martial arts down here, of course, with Yoel Romero having the ties. I mean, look, there was even talk when this was going to be at Miami that, you know, Jorge Masvidal was saying that he wanted to turn around from his fight on March 16th against Darren Till. He wanted to do the turnaround and fight on April 27th. That's, you know, one, Masvidal's a crazy person, but two, like, come on, man. That's a big deal for him to get to fight in his hometown. You know, this isn't quite fighting in your hometown. It's nothing against the BB&T Center. It's a fantastic venue. Love going there for concerts. Love Panthers games. But I do feel like it being actually in Miami did have a little bit different of a flavor to it as far as, you know, kind of going into the big-time market. Being UFC Miami and being UFC Fort Lauderdale, just different marketing-wise. Just is. And so if you're not only going to take away the prestige of being in Miami, you know, at least put a card that's really going to bring people out there to West Broward County and make them want to show the UFC that this is a market where we could support the sport and we want you guys to come back here on the regular. I don't feel like with these first... Now, the interesting thing is going to be, you know, I would like to know why it didn't turn out with the AAA, because, like, these are very strong rumors that were out there. These things don't just come from nowhere. So I would like to know if it was a case of them being too worried about the potential playoff matchups, which, you know, now aren't looking fantastic for the Miami Heat. But if that was, you know, if that was a case, if it was just purely a money issue, if it was a timing thing, because I really thought that just being in that place would have just given it a different feel. Again, like, it, BB&T is cool, and they probably don't have the fear that the Panthers are going to make the playoffs and that there would be a conflict or that they wouldn't be able to work that out. And maybe there was too much of an unknown with the NBA factor, and that they'll try and match that up during a regular season one day. But this was just too much of an unknown to make that happen. I don't know, but it is strange that it seemed everybody was kind of on board that, yeah, this thing was going to be in Miami, but now it is moving to Broward County. So that's kind of the latest there. The card we got yesterday, that they put out on the ESPN Plus broadcast, you know, it had John Lineker, Corey Sandhagen atop the billing, but it does say at the end of it that the bout order is to come at a later date. They haven't really officially announced it yet. And the other thing is if you go to the BB&T's website, they don't even have the official card on it. They have the date. They say UFC is coming, but they don't have an official announcement of card. UFC's website, they still have TBD versus TBD. So there's no official announcement on what the main event's really going to be. These are just the fighters we know are going to be there. We know it's going to be on ESPN, and we know it's going to be at the BB&T Center. But we don't know quite yet what the main event is, or hell, what even the co-main event is. This is only, a six-bout list they've come out, and they're going to have, 10 fights on there, 11 fights, 12 fights on there. So there's still, I think, other stuff to drop here. I don't think that the entire story is completed, but I can tell you from my standpoint, I hope that it has Yoel versus Costa on there, because I think that would be monster for South Florida. I think that it gives it a real signature fan-friendly fight that I think a lot of UFC fans all around the country want to see. Has a tie down here. Yoel, obviously living down here, Cuban community, Brazilian community for Paulo Costa. I think that would be huge. But I think I think it would have just had a little bit extra energy if it was down at the American Airlines Arena. But still happy they're coming down here, nonetheless. When we come back, we'll get into the action from yesterday. A lot of things going on, the UFC, Bellator, boxing, tons of stuff going on, especially on the European side of things. And huge announcement as far as UFC 236, a couple of titles that will be on the line. We'll get to that next.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back. This is very exciting. The long-awaited return. Seema's back in the building.
Wow.
What's up, man?
Wow, what up?
It's good to have you back.
What up, sunshine?
It is good to have you back.
Man, it's a pleasure to be back.
So I was just talking about, the announcement happened yesterday. Have you been into you gotta be miserable with the fights lately, because like everything's on streaming.
Yeah,
I'm
boycotted.
You're just out of the loop.
Boycotted.
I had to go get one of these fire sticks. I'm like, there's no fights on TV anymore. It's all on streaming.
And a bunch of crap.
It is.
I wanted to say something else, but I didn't want you to dump me.
But at least now that it's on the stick thing, at least it feels like, oh, okay, it's on my television. But it's still a pain in the ass. It's like all every day. It's like, okay, we're gonna be on ESPN here, ESPN Plus there, DAZN here. Yesterday, I was trying to watch this Bellator card. Figure this one out. You would think if they're streaming, I'm allowed to watch it live. So they have this card over in Dublin.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, click, click, click. And they're like, oh, it's on delay. And I was confused. I was like, oh, is the card delayed? They're like, no. Tape delay. You can watch it at 9 once it's over. So first of all, I go to the Bellator Twitter account to try and figure this out. They spoil the ending. They tell you who wins.
Of course.
And then and the other thing is, if it's streaming, shouldn't I be able to watch it whenever I want?
Of course you should. And not only that, go to their website. It tells you to tune into Spike.
What? So crazy, man. So we got news yesterday on the broadcast that the UFC is coming back down here, Seema. It's coming to the BB&T Center. It was supposed to be at the American Airlines Arena. Those were the initial reports. And it was supposed to be Yoel Romero taking on Paulo Costa.
Yes.
All kinds of sauced up.
I bet.
Both these dudes just going in there, bodied up for this one.
Banging. Trading.
But now it turns out it's going to be at the BB&T Center. And the
Even
car
better
that,
for me.
Good for you travel-wise?
Yeah. That's to make up for all of the force feeding of the app. I kind of feel like Bellator and UFC are like my mother when I'm 7 years old. Eat your vegetables. Eat your vegetables.
But this card doesn't have, like, the initial card that came out, it's kind of like everybody down here is underwhelmed.
Is it Mighty Mouse?
It's Sean Lineker, who's kind of like...
The same thing.
You know, I mean, he hits harder, but you know, everybody down here is like, are we getting the short end of this again? You go from us getting a legitimate title contending fight that everybody wants to see with a hometown guy, and now all of a sudden we're getting John Lineker, and all respect to Andre Arlovsky, but you know, it's been better days with the pit bull. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of the South Florida mixed martial arts fan yesterday when they saw that announcement, they're like, oh man, are we getting hosed again on this stuff? Again?
Well, just like South Florida has done in the past, we'll show Dana.
Yeah.
He's going to be papering the house on the last day of the fight. They're going to be giving away tickets.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Why would you have this big thought that you're going to come back into the market when you know at this market it's going to need something big to draw them? And the other thing is, because of all the people that train down here, why are we in the situation where you're really gonna give us the two bantamweights again, who are, you know, one guy's in contention, one guy's not even ranked yet? Like, that's how we're gonna go with the initial launching. So
smoking mirrors.
I'm hoping that the OL thing is just, he's not official because he's on some wacky reality show, so they can't get in touch with him. So I'm hoping that announcement comes, and that'll definitely liven the spirits of the card. But yeah, a lot of people are not happy with yesterday's announcement. Not happy.
I don't blame them.
I can't blame them either. It's crazy. Last time they were here, it was, do you remember the Yoel Lyoto Machida card? That was better. Like,
That was great.
That was a good atmosphere.
It was great. People got excited. It sold out like in an hour and 30 minutes. Those are the fights that we need to have.
Yeah, man. There's no reason why it can't be a big thing here. And
That's when the purchaser of the fight is mandating there be some substance.
Yeah.
Because the reason why that happened is because that was at Hard Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And Hard Rock said, don't bring us no crappy fights.
Yeah.
BB&T and American Airlines, they're saying, oh, it's the UFC.
Right. But the BBT's been here before. Like, that last card at the BB&T was terrible.
Yeah, they probably just rent the venue.
Yeah.
You know, UFC is probably the promoter. At a property, there's site fee.
Mm-hmm.
So they pay you to bring it there to bring value to the players,
gotcha,
to the customers, to bring bodies.
Gotcha.
BB&T doesn't care. It's an empty house. They care about concessions, but concessions are going to happen regardless of what you put in there,
mm-hmm,
as long as there's people.
Oh, man. I hope it gets spiced up, man. So there was news this week as far as UFC 236 concerned. They have a couple of title fights that were announced, but the big surprising one was there's an interim lightweight championship on the line. Dustin Poirier is taking on Max Holloway for the interim 155 championship. Apparently, it was initially offered to Tony Ferguson. He turned it down. He's like, I'm not fighting for another interim belt. I was interim champion. My knee got torn up. You guys stripped me and gave the title fight to Khabib. I'm not fighting for the interim title again. So instead, we got Max Holloway, who's been a dominant featherweight champion. He's been on a huge winning streak against Dustin Poirier, who's also been outstanding. He, you know, if he wasn't at lightweight, he probably would have gotten a title shot a long time ago in any other weight class.
Great fight.
It's a great fight. But it does put this division, which is got Khabib suspended and also giving himself an extra suspension because he's in solidarity. He's not going to come back until his two other teammates' suspensions up. You got Conor, who's obviously the biggest star in the sport. And then you got Tony, who was interim champ, but apparently doesn't want to fight for an interim belt, only wants to fight for the real thing. So now they're in this position. They're like, all right, I guess we go to our number three guy, and then we bring up the featherweight champ. It's a monster fight, but it kind of just makes a division that was stacked, already had some issues with who the guy is, and now we got even more questions of who the guy is going to be after this one.
I'm excited about the fight. I think it's a more interesting, engaging fight than a Khabib Ferguson fight.
Yeah. These guys throw down.
Yeah, these guys are violent. They're going to stand toe-to-toe and trade.
Yeah, give me the
Although
last...
every time we say that, usually goes to the ground.
Well, I feel we got to feel... When's the last time Dustin Poirier has been in a boring fight? He's always...
Holloway.
Both those guys are always slugging it out. Like, that could be the one where they're, like, again, just standing in the middle, and they're like, pointing to the center of the octagon and throwing down. They're both just so fan-friendly as far as fighters are concerned. So, and I'm really happy for Dustin Poirier. That dude, he's kind of like amongst everybody who's got like a gimmick or whatnot. That guy just shows up, puts on good fights. He's been an absolute rock at 155 pounds. It's just, you know, when you're in a division with Conor McGregor and Khabib and Tony Ferguson. Like, it's easy to see why a guy like that gets lost in the shuffle. And to see him get something like this, get a good opportunity, is you know, it kind of gives you hope in the sport again, almost.
Yeah, but what happens, okay, Holloway, the winner of Holloway, Poirier.
Yep.
So now who do they fight when Khabib comes back?
I guess they, I would assume, normally.
So Ferguson's probably three fights away from possibly getting a belt.
Well, this is the interesting thing. So Khabib had this, he had this statement on his Instagram, and he says, "I want to remind you guys that before I became champion, I was close to title fight three times, and all three times I missed my opportunity. First was in July. I was offered fight in Ramadan month. I turned down. UFC 205, I was offered title fight. Belt agreement signed. Title fight given away." It's Conor, shut up. Third time, UFC 209, I was hospitalized, almost died. With every single fail, I say, if I miss chance, you earn your shot with one more victory. Tony, you had chance, and you missed it. It's your fault. So he's telling Tony, go fight. Go fight, you get a shot. But Tony did fight. He fought on that card. He fought on the last, he beat Anthony Pettis on a knee that was rehabbed for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's insane. He's certifiably insane. So he comes out after this, and he's like, I'll make 145. Tony's insane. He's like, I'd rather go fight at featherweight than go fight for the interim title. So
I'll drain bone marrow and go down
to 145. I don't know. I don't know.
And I'll drink it when I win.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, it's an awesome fight. It's just, yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing Tony Ferguson, Max Holloway. I think that Ferguson probably wins that fight, though.
It's an amazing fight. And Max getting into the mix at 155, I mean, it only makes 155 better. And mean, especially the pleasing style that he fights in. But yeah, we're kind of in the spot again. Like, what do you do? Okay, so once November rolls around, if Dustin or Max is the champ or the interim champ, do they get to fight Khabib, or are you going to Connor's going to be, you know what?
Poirier has the opportunity to redeem himself.
Poirier's got the chance.
If he wins the belt.
At a new weight class, and so does Max. And Max, these two fought back in Max's debut. I think it was 19.
McGregor or Poirier?
No, he's fought them both. He lost to both of them.
Right,
Poirier submitted him in his debut when he was like 19, and then Conor beat him by decision when Conor tore up his knee.
Poirier fought McGregor too.
Yeah.
He beat both of them.
Yes. He knocked out Poirier in a round. At featherweight. And then I think it was after that fight that Poirier moved up and has just been pretty much on a tear. I think his only loss was to Michael Johnson. But other than that, he's been destroying fools. And like every fight is fight of the night candidate, something like that. So yeah, to see him out there, and now this is kind of going to be interesting because it's the all interim card, because they're also putting an interim middleweight title on the line between Israel Adesanya, Stylebender, against Kelvin Gastelum, because of Robert Whittaker's intestines nearly falling out, and he had to get surgery, so they don't know when he's going to be ready. So I don't know. The UFC is got interim titles going all around.
Yeah, there's two I can't keep up.
It's almost becoming like boxing, because boxing is big on the interim titles, and those not really meaning anything as far as will you get the next shot. And I think kind of things turned with the welterweight division, because they gave an interim title to Colby, and he didn't get the next shot. It's going to be Kamaru Usman versus Tyron Woodley next week, and we'll get into that next segment. But even with that being the case, and Kamaru Usman being an awesome fighter, it's like, all right, well, what do these mean anymore? What do these interim titles stand for? Is it just to put a good item at the end of a card, or is it actually kind of your Willy Wonka golden ticket to the title shot, to the actual title shot? That's the real question. It's strange times.
It's very strange.
Strange times, man. I don't know. So that's what's going down, and it'll be interesting. Like, there's been rumors with Conor in his next fight that it's supposed to be Cowboy. He's supposed to be fighting Don Cerrone in the summer. But, you know,
About time Cerrone get a big payday, huh?
Yeah, man.
He deserves it. He's earned it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's good, too. Like, the one thing you can say about Conor, if the UFC is in this situation, is he doesn't really need the title. Like, he's a big draw no matter what. Like, you could put him in fun fights and interesting fights that people are going to want to see.
I think that's better.
Yeah.
It's better for Conor and better for the UFC, because there's some of these guys that realistically I don't think that Conor can beat. And the more that you put him in those fights, the more you diminish his value.
Right.
It's better to put him in with a fight with Cerrone, which we know will be a great fight, but he'll probably win.
Yeah, and stand-up wise too. Like, you don't want him in these fights where a guy's
taking him down.
The blueprint has been put out there to beat Conor McGregor. You want him on fights where it's going to be standing and there's going to be, you know, crazy distance, him throwing those kicks, all that kind of stuff put in out there. So, you know, if
protect the cash cow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Otherwise he's going to be going and selling whiskey bottles all over the place.
I don't hate that. I'm not mad at that. I'd rather see a great fight than a title fight with two big names.
Yeah.
And they get in the cage and they, you know, dry hump each other.
Yeah. I'm not mad at that either. Like, it's one of those things where we have seen...
You're not mad at a hump fest?
No. I mean, well, like, here's an interesting thing. So, did you see...
Thank God GSP's retired.
GSP retired this week. I was going to ask you. So, like, GSP retired this week. He apparently wanted to make a fight with Khabib. And apparently, from GSP's standpoint, the UFC didn't want to make that fight because, in his mind, they're afraid he's going to beat Khabib and then retire and just go off into the sunset, and they've just and that would just ruin Nurmagomedov and all his marketing, because Khabib was like, once the news came out retiring, he's like please GSP, don't retire, please, I fight you whenever weight you want. He does,
after he retired,
when he gave the news, because they were like, oh, this press conference is coming up, and he's like, please don't retire, please stay. And I don't know, like, Khabib versus GSP does nothing for me.
Does nothing for me either. I'd rather see, like, wouldn't you be interested in seeing Anderson Silva versus GSP, like, their last fight?
I wouldn't mind that. Especially, I thought Anderson looked good his last fight.
He did look good. He faded a little bit at the end, I believe. And it was just almost like kind of like survival to a degree. Like, let me just make it look good. Patty cake. I'm going to make fun of you. And you're not going to be able to hit me very clean, but I'm not going down.
Right.
I'll lose for a decision, but I'm not going down.
Yeah, I think I heard Chael Sonnen make that point. Like, Anderson looks at a victory as the longer a fight goes.
Yeah.
If he knows he can't be beat, as long as it goes long, he's happy about that. So
he's 41?
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah, man.
Chael, shut up.
We come back. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of UFC 235. John Bones Jones returning to the Octagon next week. That's
a
next.
Real fight card next week.
Yeah, man. That's an awesome one.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back. Fighters Fury here. Tobin and Seema here with you. So next week, we got UFC 235, a real monster card.
Real fights.
A real monster card from Las Vegas. Big time. John Jones is returning to SEMA. He is fighting Anthony Smith.
What's he been out? 6 weeks since his last fight?
John Jones?
Yeah.
He's fighting a lot. He said he wants to fight, I think, 4 times this year if he could.
Wow. Got to make that money
It's got to make up for lost time.
Got bills to pay.
It's got to make up for lost time. I guess he's got 2 drug testing agencies that he's got to fulfill. He's got VADA. He's got USADA. I'm sure WADA wants to get in there, too. Everybody wants to take John Jones' urine.
If he ain't careful, he's going to have child support. Jeez. Alimony.
So Anthony Smith, this is the way I look at it, Seema. Like, we say that Anthony Smith's a dangerous dude. He's really, really he's a fun fighter to watch.
Did you ever expect 3-4 years ago when this guy came on the scene that he would become what he is?
Nope.
Me neither. But I would have never have forecasted that.
The only thing that I find, he beat Volkan Oezdemir, that was a good win, savage fight. I mean, it was like those guys were covered in blood for it. He burst on the scene at light heavyweight, beating Rashad Evans and beating Shogun, and Shogun's had a nice little resurgence here, but the only thing I look at those two guys, I'm like, man.
Asterix.
John was beating those guys back when those guys were in their prime.
Right.
When he was young buck. So, you know, I'll give you the Oezdemir win, but like, John Jones, the idea that Anthony's got the tools to get through this guy, I don't know, man. I don't see where he's able to get inside that range, that dangerous long reach of John Jones, those kicks, those knees, those elbows. How does he find a way? Like, he's going to have to risk it at some point to go in there and try and put his hands on him. I don't think he's going to be able to. I don't think John's going to allow that.
Tactically, I think the only way that he has an opportunity to win this fight, meaning Anthony Smith, is to throw tactics out the door and catch him with a haymaker.
Yeah.
And stun him. That's the only chance that I see that he has. Taken nothing away from Anthony Smith. He's climbed the ladder to get to this point and to be into some sort of contention. I think it's an interesting fight because he seems to have power, but I don't think that he poses a stiff challenge to Jones.
I don't know if anybody does in this division. I mean, he is the best, and he is, you know, gonna show everybody. But like, you know, after Anthony, you know, Jan Błachowicz lost yesterday to Thiago Santos, who had the call out of him, and he's like, I'll beat Anthony Smith and I'll beat John Jones too. He's gonna be in attendance. Luke Rockhold's kind of in this division now. Mm. He's making that, you know, you can have a storyline there with, you know, he's DC's ex-teammate and stuff like that. But I mean, does anybody got a shot against him at 205? I look at this list and I don't see it. Maybe Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker is very raw onto the scene. He's going to be fighting on that card, and people like him. He's very sexual with his pelvic thrusts when he walks to the octagon.
Johnny Walker, come on, man. He's just coming off all like this cocaine stuff and all these other things, and now you want him to get in the cage with a bottle of Johnny Walker?
I'm just like, I mean, there's got to be some kind of beef there that could happen between him and Conor.
I don't even know who Johnny Walker is.
Oh, dude, you watch this. He won his last fight. Yeah. He hit him with a spinning back fist, right? And then, so dude's out, and he's coming up. He was about to sucker punt him right into the stands.
Really?
Yeah, thankfully he missed on the kick, so the ref stopped the fight, but he won already. But this dude, he walks to the ring. He used to be a male stripper.
Oh, wow.
And so he's walking to this ring.
WWE or UFC?
I'm telling you, you got to see the type of love he was making to the air on this was crazy. I mean, it was wild, but he won his last fight in like 15 seconds. People are into him. They think he's got star potential. I'm telling you. Watch him. He's on the prelims. Watch him next week. I'm telling you, you got to watch this ring walk. It's crazy.
Do you have to watch it on ESPN Plus?
No, it's actually on ESPN. Right. On ESPN. But I'm telling you, he's something. I mean, they're not going to do Gustafsson again. He's out. Yeah, man, I don't know.
Yeah, because he destroyed him the last video. It looked like a fight.
So, it's nothing against Anthony Smith. It's just like, this guy's kind of the best ever, and I don't foresee anybody beating him in this division.
Could you imagine if he pulls it off?
What?
Could you imagine if he pulls it off?
If Anthony Smith pulled it off?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What are the odds? I got to see what the odds are for this fight, because they got to be crazy big as far as what the spread is for this fight. Because, you know, Anthony Smith is like, this guy was, he is an absolute monster, but, you know, this guy's, John Jones is a minus 1100 favorite.
Wow.
Anthony Smith plus 650. I mean, that's a monster spread. People are not giving him much of a shot in this fight.
That's a tough one.
I don't blame them. If he were to win this fight, it's up there with, I mean, I think
Buster
it would be one
Douglas,
of the
Mike Tyson.
Maybe.
Yeah, close, huh?
Maybe.
Made you think.
Maybe. It's a monster. But yeah, John Jones finish him, or you think it goes the distance? What do you think?
I think he finished. I think John is going to be committed to finishing in some way, shape, or form for these, what did you say, four fights in 19?
Yeah.
He wants to continue to make that impact. Like, I'm back. All these bums that have been claiming to be the best in a division, I'm going to clean house, and then I'm going to go to heavyweight and fight Cain Velasquez.
Ooh. Man, that felt bad.
That was
Cain.
Horrible.
Yeah, that was horrible. That was horrible. And it's weird that it happened to him on both those big launches, huh? Like, it happened to him against JDS on Fox, and then it happened to him on Francis.
It was a desperation launch to me.
What do you mean?
Like, when he pushes forward off the knee, getting clipped.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, let me reach for him and push, and the knee went up.
Look, Francis is scary. And to think that...
How about John Jones, Francis Ngannou next year, 2020?
I like the way you think.
2020.
Because, look, I don't care. You know, I know Francis has his shortcomings, but that first round, no matter what, I mean, like, I don't know what happened in the Derek Lewis fight. That was really weird. But yeah, he's still dangerous. Even Stipe said, like, that first round, he hurt me. And I mean, he's the scariest. He's got the scariest fist in the game.
Two guys that Dana hates or loves to hate.
Yeah. Man,
fighting against each other.
Dana will be all over you. And then if you turn on him, he's like, out in the cold, man.
Right.
Out in the cold. You ain't my cash cow anymore. what do you think about the co-main event? Tyron Woodley against Kamaru Usman.
Interesting fight.
Very interesting fight. I don't think
that Tyron can knock him out with one punch. And I think that's what we've seen lately is, you know, people kind of fear that punch.
Yeah.
They're looking for that punch, and then he takes them down and, you know, all the other stuff.
These guys are both really good wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why it neutralizes their approach in the fight. And now we go from seeing, you know, we talked earlier about two great strikers being in a fight and they end up taking each other down or trying to take each other down with, like, the Paul Daly and MVP fight.
Ugh.
Here you have the opposite. You got guys that are both great wrestlers that will probably not try to take each other down.
Right.
Unless it gets into some mental warfare. Let me take you down and show you that I'm a better wrestler than you.
This is one of those fights that I think is interesting because I feel like even though Tyron's got the championship experience, I feel like the longer the fight goes, the better it is for Kamaru. I feel like if this fight... I would agree. I think if Tyron gets him, he gets him in the first couple rounds. Even though, like, that gas tank thing has been debunked a little bit. Like, Tyron has matured as a fighter, and he really breaks guys down. But the one thing I will say about him is, if we look back at the guys he's beaten recently, Darren Till, Wonder Boy, Damian Maia, they're all kind of specialists. They're all guys that got their one trait. And Kamaru, I would say, yes, his bread and butter is his wrestling, but he's pretty damn good at everything. You can't look at Kamaru Usman and say that guy's got a hole anywhere. He's. I mean, other than maybe not knock you dead power. Yeah. What? Anyway, I think if there's going to be a title changing hands, I think it's going to be this fight. I think this is the guy who's got the skill set to dethrone Tyron Woodley. And if Tyron does beat him, I legitimately think if Tyron beats him and Colby Covington, I think we do have to start having a conversation about Tyron being the best welterweight of all time.
Of all time.
Wow. Yeah. I'm serious because you want to know why? I think GSP, he was able to kind of dominate and beat all those guys kind of twice over. But he got that sense when things were going to start turning in this division, right?
And he got
the hell out. This guy's knocked out Robbie Lawler.
Well, he almost got beat by Josh Koscheck.
Yeah. Like, Tyron Woodley, you know, first of all, you knock out Robbie Lawler.
Yeah.
One of the scariest dudes to ever walk into the octagon.
With one shot.
Yeah. Wonder Boy twice. You know, Damian Maia, maybe
those
the best.
Those were some boring fights, though.
Boring fights, no doubt. I'm not saying it's the most exciting welterweight of all time. Damian Maia, one of the best submission artists of all time. Darren Till, a guy who's an absolute monster, probably way too big for 170. This Kamaru Usman is so tremendous. And then you have the grudge match with Colby Covington. I mean, like, yeah, you know, I think there has to be an argument for it. He's kind of beaten all the guys that were in his window and age range, and now he's beating all the young guys, too, that were supposed to be the up-and-comers. That's a hell of a resume he's building for himself. You know, it's probably hard to ever dethrone GSP, and a lot of people don't like Tyron Woodley, so they don't want to talk about this, but I think it's a pretty damn good resume he's putting up there, man.
I get that.
What do you think about...
You argue a good case.
What do you think about Robbie Lawler versus Ben Askren?
Yeah, Ben Askren is a wrestler.
Yeah.
Straight up. No, I mean, punches very little that I've seen. And I know his stint at Bellator was all about taking guys down.
All about it.
Backpacking them and dragging them down to the ground and just neutralizing.
Can he do that to Robbie?
I hope not. I hope Robbie comes in there with those cinder block fists again.
Coming off an injury.
He lost that. It seemed like he lost that luster or that steam after those Hendricks wars.
Yeah, he's been through the Rory McDonald fight.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's put on some of the most thrilling fights of all time. Yeah, Robbie's one of my favorite fighters, man. I love watching that guy fight, but I'm with
you.
He's
gritty. I hope he's got something left in the gas tank. If he's got something left in the gas tank and takes out Ben Askren, then, you know, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see a boring Ben Askren fight where the guy just takes people down and neutralizes.
Yeah. This is an interesting
one. Next thing you know, 9 months later, we know what happened.
a destructive little baby comes.
Yes.
Yeah, man. I'm interested to see what Ben Askren. This is kind of like the outcast of the UFC. Dana and him have another guy that Dana has beef with. So
who, Askren?
Yeah, they don't like each other. Well, Dana doesn't like him. That's why he hasn't been in the UFC. Like, he was just at one championship forever because him and Dana apparently just, like, Dana didn't like his style. Thought he was boring, but also didn't like that he would make fun of him on Twitter all the time.
But how'd he get signed to the UFC? Just to take him away from Bellator?
No, you want to know how he got in the UFC? He got traded. They traded Mighty Mouse and his contract.
To Bellator?
No. Mighty Mouse is now at one championship. They traded Ben Askren, and so they traded rights basically. And I guess the big catalyst to it, because you know Dana White and Joe Rogan are longtime friends.
Yeah,
I guess Joe had a huge campaign. Kind of, he had Ben on his podcast, and that kind of started the wave to get the fans behind him to because, you know, look, Ben Askren's a good personality. People like him. He talks a lot of bleep. You know, he's obviously
the guy that wore a suit with flip flops.
Yeah. I don't even think it was a suit. I think it was like a baggy ass shirt. I think Ben Askren is, you know, the people. It's good that somebody can poke fun at the boss. People like that. You going at the big corporation, and all that stuff. But man, it's a tough matchup though. Robbie Lawler, your first fight. That's crazy.
Agreed.
That's a crazy fight. So yeah. I think that John's going to win. I'm going to go with Usman. I'm going to go with Robbie, man. I can't pick against Robbie.
I'm going with Jones, Woodley, and Lawler.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can't get a... It's
Diego Sanchez on the prelims. He's still hanging in there.
Still hanging in there, man. He's fighting Mickey Gall. Actually, you know what? I mean, the prelims are really good, too.
I'd love to see Diego Sanchez versus Conor McGregor.
What?
Wouldn't that be great?
I mean, all right. Why?
What? Because Diego Sanchez brings it.
Because he's just crazy.
So we're talking about fights. That's a fight.
I mean, yeah. When is he ever in a boring fight? But he also could go really poorly for him.
That's okay. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Jeremy Stephen versus Zabit. Zabit is, I mean, the hairiest human being in the UFC.
A grizzly bear.
Misha Shurganov. And then watch that. Shurganov versus Johnny Walker. That should do it.
That's the fight you want me to must see TV.
Watch this guy, man. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. This guy, I mean, you want to talk about, you think your TV is going to get pregnant. Watch this guy.
Really?
Oh, my God. He is almost too perverse for television. It's weird. Wow. So, yeah, man. That's what's going down next week. It should be a fun fight card. Really, really good card that they've put together. I almost wish, you know, maybe, you know, break off a piece of this card and throw it down here for the UFC. Come on, man. Quit hogging it all. Put one of these fights on the card down here. One of them. And plus, isn't ESPN going to be like, really? Like, this is what you're giving? This is our third fight on big ESPN, and you're giving us John Lineker?
I agree.
I'm like, if I'm Mickey Mouse, I'm calling up. I'm like, hey, Dana, what the bleep, man? We ain't the zone. We're ESPN. Let's get it right, all right? It's enough of this nonsense. You want to go to Splash Mountain? You want those free tickets for your family? You want the private tour? You want to go on the new Avatar ride? Get it right. I don't care what you got to do. Make a double interim title. Whatever it's got to be. Make it happen.
I agree.
I'm tired of this nonsense.
And no more ESPN Plus, please.
Now that's not going anywhere.
No vegetables.
I'm telling you, it's not going anywhere. So much streaming all over the place. Just more and more streaming, left and right, man. It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. It'll be fun reacting to some fights next week, everybody. So same time, same place. 10 a.m. Love the 10 a.m. start. If you guys missed any of the show, you can download the podcast. It'll be up a little bit later today. You can go get it at the Ticket Miami. I'll also put up my Twitter account, @Brendan_Tobin, or at Instagram at the same handle. So you guys can get it there as well. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Have a great, great weekend. And we will talk to you guys next week. Enjoy it.
Yep.
All right, welcome back, guys. Fighters Fury bonus segment here. Let me give you a little bit of a recap of what went down. Yesterday, I had Thiago Santos to beat Jan Blachowicz. TKO win. He then called for a title fight with either Anthony Smith or John Jones, whoever wins that fight. Good performance by him. He's devastating. I will say this with Thiago. Like, he does look like the guy who
you know, we've been waiting for a guy who's got one punch knockout power who could maybe challenge John Jones. Maybe he is the guy. I don't know if Anthony's more of a volume, put it on you type of dude. I think he beat Anthony Smith also in the past. So we'll see what happens with the sledgehammer. But one call out he had Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold said he'd be easy money. Be interesting to see when Luke kind of gets into the swing of things here as far as the 205 division. Stefan Struve got himself a win yesterday with those long arms. He got himself an arm triangle choke. So there was that. Liz Carmouche, very, very dicey win that she got over Lucia Pudilava. So it was that. One local note, shout out to Jillian Robertson. She got herself a win over Veronica Makedo. Got herself a submission win versus via rear naked choke. So shout out to Jillian. She's trains down here, and saw her buddy Kayla Rocco, friend of the show, was very happy for her celebrating in the octagon. So shout out to Jillian for getting herself a win in that one yesterday. Let's see. Mackenzie Dern, speaking of the ladies, she has announced that she is pregnant. She vows to return to fighting. She was looking to fight in the spring, but the 7-0 Dern is now going to be out for a little bit. And be interesting. I would say with Mackenzie, the only big thing that's going to be interesting is she had, I don't want this to sound insensitive, she had weight issues. And I'm not saying that Mackenzie Dern is fat. She is not fat at all. I'm just saying weight class wise, she missed the 115 pound limit badly last time. And I think any guy who can tell you, like, you know, when women have babies, their bodies can change. I mean, she is a professional athlete. So I think that does swing some things as far as her ability to bounce back from this in a different way. But she's not one that ever has been very shy about saying that discipline is not her thing. Like, she's not been shy about saying that. Like, she's not the type of person that is locking herself in the gym. She likes to fight. She likes being a fighter, but she doesn't, I think, live and breathe it. And she's touched on some of that stuff. Amanda Nunes, the Lady Goat, she wants to fight two more times before retiring. She told Combate this week that she wants to fight Holly Holm before the end of the year and then fight Cyborg in a rematch, and then she is done. There were rumors about her fighting at UFC 237. That's not happened. Anderson Silva is going to fight Jared Cannonori, the Killer Gorilla, at UFC 237. So that is the next fight for Anderson, not Nick Diaz. So that'll be cool. Speaking of Anderson, his fight with Stylebender did an estimated 175,000 pay-per-view buys, which is not fantastic. They also obviously lost main event the day of. I do think that probably took a hit to it. And I think getting that news, we found out this week that Stylebender is going to be fighting Kelvin Gastelum in an interim title fight. So we don't really know the story of Robert Whittaker when he's going to be back. But getting the idea that Stylebender's being the headliner against Anderson Silva didn't do fantastic, I think is probably why they wanted to double down on title shots and in title fights, excuse me. So we got that. A little bit of boxing. Let's get to this. So Joe Joyce yesterday, he stopped Romain Stavern. He moves to 8-0 as a heavyweight, the prospect, the silver medalist from London, who obviously is looking to get into the mix as well. Chris Eubank Jr., he defeated James DeGaulle by unanimous decision. Shout out to Chris Eubank helping me out in my Doom picks. Shout out to Thiago Santos helping me out in my Doom picks this week on the boys of Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. Tune in to us every Monday through Friday, 1 through 4. He beat James DeGaulle, beat him up badly. I actually thought some of the cards that were close were laughable. I was with Al Bernstein. Al Bernstein had it a route. I had it a route too. He brought the fight. I don't really remember, outside of a couple sneaky left hands, James DeGaulle landing much on Chris Eubank. So there's that. This is the big one as far as boxing is concerned. So this week it was announced that Tyson Fury is signing with ESPN and Top Rank. And that's obviously interesting because for the longest time, Deontay Wilder has been a premier boxing champions fighter. So the ties there are Fox, Showtime, Al Heyman's one of his advisors, though not his promoter. He's kind of got Shelley Finkel. He's got a lot of different dudes who are in the Deontay Wilder business, but he is a free agent. He's not contractually tied to Showtime. So the interesting thing that's going to be here is, look, Al Heyman and Bob Arum don't do business together very much, if at all. So will that impede us getting Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury? This is what I got to say. Like, first of all, if ESPN wants to get into the pay-per-view business or they want to get in the boxing business, this is the fight to do it. All right. This is a absolute monster poo-poo platter, silver platter right for you. Here you go. Offer Deontay Wilder what he deserves for this fight. He's the champ. You don't sign Tyson Fury and then have him go fight some B-level Pulev-type opponent. That's a dumb business model. If you want Tyson Fury to be the guy, what you do is you have him beat Deontay Wilder, become the guy, and then he can be the face and you can, you know, spoon-feed him some guys. So Tyson signing with ESPN is interesting, because if Deontay doesn't want to make that happen, if he's not happy with that, does he then bypass it, wait for Anthony Joshua and Jarrell Miller to fight, and then go to the zone? I don't know. Because, look, I don't think that – I know I'm in the minority here. I don't know if Anthony Joshua is going to beat Jarrell Miller. I really think Jarrell Miller presents some problems as far as volume, size, style. I know everybody looks at him and say, well, the guy he hits like a pillow in the heavyweight division. It's like, well, it's not the style that he goes with. He doesn't go in there with reckless abandon and trying to knock dudes out. Like, he tries to wear you out volume wise. It's a different style. And, you know, the only thing that's obviously not the only thing, but one of the challenges that he's going to have against Anthony is, you know, trying to get into that telephone pole range that AJ presents, because he's so good with that jab. You know, he's more Lennox Lewis than a lot of these dudes, but, you know, he's going to create a lot of interest. You know, Jarrell Miller has an unwavering confidence. Brownsville, Brooklyn. Is he Brownsville or is he just Brooklyn? I might have just, he got the tie to Shannon Briggs. It got all tied up in my head. I know Shannon's got to be sweating this one, because AJ's his boy, but, you know, big baby's Brooklyn, baby. That's USA, so that's an interesting one. I don't think he wants to pick. I don't blame him. But I can't wait for that fight. So look, I like these guys being atop the division. I like this four-horse race of Jarrell versus AJ, Tyson versus Deontay Wilder. I will say this. Look, if Tyson beats AJ or beats Deontay, I don't know how easy it's going to be to make a fight between him and AJ now that these relationships are there, DAZN and ESPN. I don't know if AJ is strictly tied to DAZN, but Eddie is, his promoter, Eddie Hearn is. So it's going to be an interesting one. So yeah, that's our show for today, everybody. All love to you, and talk to you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.